Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown.
9,360.
After an hour. Uncomfortable moment of dead air. Your only show dedicated to local art with your host, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is November 25th. Did you work that turkey off yet?
I did.
I
didn't have very much.
Oh.
All right, I didn't have very much.
Just stuffed the mic in my face and he's like, get it going. Get it going! This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is your show about local art here in the new and burgeoning Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rocker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo.
That's my favorite.
Just a little guy.
With hairy feet. With messed up feet.
I'm working on it, though. Getting through the darkness. Hashtag Trump's America.
Working on that slave feet. Working on them slave feet.
Working on a limb. My name is Kunta Kinte.
Seriously, I got a stone for them feet. We have rub it out.
Yes. an emery board to all of your houses. With me, as always, is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
What's up? What's up, David?
What's good, Mamie? How you doing?
Oh, my God. Can I just tell you how adorable my grandson is?
Yes.
Can I just...
Well, you will anyway.
Oh, my...
As you have been telling us.
Good
and everybody
Lord.
That you know.
He's
for
like...
For the past...
Oh my God! I mean, for real,
yes.
Y'all, look at that.
That's you.
Look at that,
that
little
is you
nugget
making another
look
part
at
of
him
you.
And his process.
It's a miracle
wanna,
of life.
You just want to eat his little face. He's so cute. He's so cute.
You have no idea what's going on.
Oh my God.
It is all wonderment and
it
fear
is.
All at the same time.
Well, and you can see in this picture,
this in
he kind of looks a little drunk. Like, and he's got such an old man face that
I think babies are perpetually in a state of drunkenness that entire time. Because
oh,
think about
drunk.
It.
Milk drunk is a thing.
Look, I'm saying, because until the age of like 2, 3, you don't remember what you're doing. So you're just like permanently inebriated.
Oh my God. All right. So let me just show everybody. I'm going to show everybody. This was Thanksgiving.
What?
Okay. Like my mom like worked it out.
That a spread.
Okay.
That
yeah.
a real big spread.
It's a spread, man. Yeah, it was, oh my God.
We had a nice one. I served brie en croûte.
You served what?
Brie en croûte. It is a baked brie with spicy plum chutney, caramelized pecans, and brown sugar.
Wow.
White people shit. I just wanted to
impress
people.
Yeah, that's some serious white people. Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, it wasn't like through the roof, like amazing, uh-huh. like, you know, shatter the earth good. But uh-huh. it was all right.
Okay.
I impressed people. I said something fancy, and they said, "What's that?" And I said,
"Yes." I'm sorry. I'm just imagining your mother's face when you said Brian Cruz. She's like, "What?"
Oh, I didn't serve it for my mom.
Oh, okay, good.
I love the idea of something being shattered the earth good. I want the next DC movie to be like, someone's making something that has shattered the earth good. We have to stop this meal.
The Aquaman trailer is pretty dope, but I don't think it's shattered the earth good. I do.
Have you seen the?
Hey, that man has shattered the earth good. I don't care.
Have you seen the video online?
That man shattered the earth good. Yes.
Wait, hold on. Have you seen the video online where somebody plays the Aquaman trailer right next to the Black Panther trailer, and you watch the Aquaman trailer trace the Black Panther trailer beat for beat?
Yeah, because Atlantis is basically Wakanda.
That's true.
And all of the character archetypes are basically going to be the same thing. There's the other guy that's kind of like Aquaman. They're from the same place, but they kind of like duke it out. It's all in the trailer. Like, it's pretty much like frame for frame.
Well, you know,
White Panther.
I mean, I was going to...
Underwater White Panther.
White Panther? Oh, my God.
That sounds horribly traumatizing and triggering.
Yes.
But,
yes, it does. I was gonna go see it because, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, I know.
That man,
we were
going
to have a drool fest.
That man.
With 12-pack.
An entire movie of him with his shirt off. I mean, who can resist that? I'll pay $15 for that. I'll pay $15 for that.
I think that's why he's in the movie.
I think so, too.
Because he's no Daniel Day-Lewis. I will say that from Justice League.
And I'm just saying, I like Daniel. I like him.
Clinton's giving us the...
He's gesticulating furiously over there.
Gesticulating furiously as our executive producer, HNIC, Clinton Johnston, telling us to move forward with the show. And we will. We will. We do get a little caught up, so I apologize to our guests. But they sometimes Alice is wonderful, but sometimes our guests be like, thought this was about me.
Sometimes they just literally sit in that chair like I'm
just gonna hold
this
book and hope.
I think I've made a horrible mistake.
Alice Claire is in the house. She is the organizer of Femme Funk, a female musician showcase. This is the second annual one. This one's benefiting Planned Parenthood at the Ix. Art Park.
Indeed.
For those of you who don't know what the Ix is in Charlottesville. November 29th.
Oh my God.
Thursday?
That's right. That's
Thursday.
Right.
Thursday night. So it's that night that sometimes people go out and sometimes people do absolutely nothing. And this is a night that you... Well, it's I just remember the restaurant industry.
Wait. Clinton, when's the last time you went out on a Thursday?
Hey.
When was the last time I was people?
Ouch.
Wow.
Even that hurt me for you.
Wow.
Self-esteem, my friend. We're going to talk about this
later.
Wait
a minute.
We're going to talk to Alice
Clinton's
right now.
Clinton's self-esteem is on a puddle in the floor. Hold on. I need to get a mop.
Let me sew this up real quick. Alice Claire, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so well. And I'll tell you what, I did not make a mistake.
She's like, I don't have to do anything.
She's
right
like,
now.
I found my people.
You understand me. So, this is the second show.
That's right.
Second verse, better than the first. Do you think so?
I really do think so. I mean, it will be a hard one to top from last year.
Mm-hmm.
We more than exceeded our goal last year. We didn't set a goal, so.
There you go.
Then you cannot be disappointed.
Awesome.
So, it's a lovely thing.
And yeah, this year's goal is probably just to have the same amount of success. We've added a couple more elements. We're doing t-shirts this year.
Cool.
We're doing the same sticker campaign.
Yay.
But
swag,
for specific
merch.
Exactly. Get the word out. Hopefully we can do it again next year.
The year after that.
Exactly.
And the year after
that. I'm expecting to be here in Charlottesville still.
Now, Leslie, you can chime in on this. I remember when we were talking to Remy and Fellow Man about Nine Pillars.
Yes.
And how they said the second running of the show and like gathering of bands and, you know, talent was easier and smoother than the first.
Because the word was out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because people knew what to expect. Did mm-hmm. you find the same aspect? Did you find it to be easier putting this together than the first time and not knowing exactly what's going to happen? Like knowing what's going to happen, knowing what you need to do.
In many ways, it's been a lot easier. Last year's event was the first thing I've ever organized like that. So I applied for a grant for this.
And can we stop for a moment and dig down in that? What was it that prompted you to organize that event?
I was a second year in school and playing in a jam band. Mm-hmm. And many a night, I'd be the only woman to be on stage throughout the night. I'm sure you all know exactly.
Amen, sister.
And I was getting fairly discouraged by that. Except, actually, maybe you could say encouraged. So I knew there was this grant available to me as a member of this program at school, and so I applied for it, hoping I could organize a female musician showcase that could both serve to highlight the female musicians of Charlottesville, but also kind of combine the UVA and Charlottesville communities, because as a local, I'm from Nelson County, so as like fairly local to Charlottesville, I was kind of shocked going to UVA that these kids are not interacting.
Yeah, right. They don't know
Charlottesville.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to do a kind of combined event to bring them out to the Charlottesville community and get the Charlottesville community more like, okay, not every UVA student isn't cool.
Yeah. So,
there's like plenty of really talented.
I know a lot of UVA students that are not cool.
Can we get
90%. A T-shirt of that? Not every UVA student isn't cool.
Can we make that happen?
Next year, FemFunk. We'll have two T-shirts then.
Yes.
So yeah, I just wanted to. I like see a lot of good in both of these communities. So. Right. I wanted to highlight those things, and as a musician and somebody, I work for the radio stations in Charlottesville. I've had to do with 92.3 here, finally get to come in and see you all here at 94.7.
Awesome.
And then I do the student radio at UVA as well, which is WXTJ. So I'm just
radio.
Like any way to kind of get music on get music out there.
Yeah.
And I saw an opportunity last year. It took a little bit. I was really... a little stressed. I kind of did this I'm doing this in conjunction with Sheville, which is offshoot of Hack Sheville, and it was a two-person organization last year, so it was kind of just three people putting this together.
Whoa.
This year, only Maddie Bainline is left in Sheville, so it's pretty much a two-man job putting this together.
Right.
And it has gone a lot smoother. I would say that booking the artists this year was more challenging, yes, because of Thursday. I needed to hop on this a little sooner, and I think with next year, it'll be not really that far from now that I'll be starting to plan for next year's FemFunk, and we'll get a solid Saturday night, I'm hoping, Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
But I'm not too worried. I think people are coming out on
Thursday. Oh, people are going to come out.
Any reason
people
to
are going
to
come out. Because we were just talking with Emily Kresge last week about her event, which is woman-based, and me in my stupid male mind thinks, oh, well, there's Sally Rose, who is also doing your show, and Devin Sproul, and there's female representation in the Charlottesville local art scene. But to my knowledge, like, you know, and like I expressed last week, I'm noticing that there's all of these male headliners that do weekly events at these clubs in Charlottesville, day by day, paid events for which they are compensated for fairly.
Right.
Meanwhile, women artists are relegated to mostly charities and benefits and raising money for other organizations. And if they get a cut on the side, so be it. God, you know, God she be willing. Hallelujah. Right. So is that accurate? And talk about that. Talk about the disparity in the art scene that is not seen by the intakers of the art scene in Charlottesville.
Right. I when I first started organizing this event in 2017, it was a lot more apparent to me that I wasn't seeing nearly as many female-oriented shows, like maybe the token girl band kind of thing. But I gotta say, after FemFunk happened last year, December 1st, maybe it was that I was more tuned into the scene, or that spurred something else, but I started to see many more female-led bands coming through the Southern. The Jefferson, so-and-so, it depends. Like, we're not seeing as many many bands that are, like, rock bands coming through the Jefferson, I'd say. But at the same time, I've been really encouraged this last year. I've seen a lot more, like, Women in the Mic that Emily just did. I'm seeing it a lot more often, so I'm feeling a lot better about it. And I'm just like, now the message of FemFunk, it's the same message, but it's not so desperate as I felt it was last year. I do see that a lot of people in Charlottesville are getting into these benefit positions, men and women alike, but FemFunk is a benefit, and Women on the Mic was a benefit for Fight Like a Girl. I have been employed fairly as a female musician.
Paid artist.
Yay.
And Emily could speak to the same.
Female artists get paid applause here at Homegrown.
Thank you. And Gina Sobel, and Sally Rose, of course. I do see many, many women making a, you know, as much as a musician, as well as a musician can do. And Charlottesville does a really good job of supporting these local artists,
cool.
as well as bringing touring artists through. So the disparity is not so apparent to me as it was last year.
Mm.
And thank goodness.
Well, thank you for helping with that.
Right. I would like to help as much as I can. And this event, like, also, it's good to be able to not only highlight female artists, but also benefit, like, mm-hmm. the Mock Stars Ball benefited. She was the same benefit that we did for Femme Funk last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just good to be able to benefit an organization that helps women also, especially
yeah.
in these times.
Absolutely.
With
yeah.
everything under attack.
Which is crazy because I actually want to segue into that, but we got to pay a bill or two. We're going to do a drop. Alice Claire is in the house. We are Homegrown. Drop.
Hi, this is Chloe Esther, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Alice Claire is in the house.
Hello.
Organizer of the Femme Funk. Femme Funk.
Okay. So, David.
Ixart right, Park, David. November 29th. Benefiting Planned Parenthood.
So,
female musician
Femme
showcase.
Funk, is this... So what genre of music do you have... scheduled, like, is it all rock, or what are we doing?
Awesome. I'm so happy you asked that question. The name Femme Funk is almost like, are you having all funk bands? I have a radio show, and I just try to switch up every other song with
yeah.
the genre. Try to go from bluegrass to hip hop back to, you know, like
yeah.
whatever next. And when I was booking these shows, I decided, why would a showcase just showcase one genre? So
right.
I tried my best to have every artist be completely different. This year, we're going to have a DJ, first off, a student DJ from UVA named Lindsay Shavers. She's awesome, and she's worked with electronic music in the music department at UVA for all 3 years she's been there. And then we're going to have Auto Diva, which is deep into electronic music.
Which is an amazing band name.
Yes. You should check her out. She just released an album called Duality. And it is... I'm friends with the woman who does Auto Diva, and it's her alter ego. And it's super cool. It's super, like, experimental
awesome.
Electronic
nice.
Music.
Huh.
And then it will be followed by an Americana... folk bands called Sweet Afton, if you know Marie Borgman of Chamomile and Whiskey.
Yeah.
So it's her group, and she plays fiddle. So big switch up there, followed by, I did reach out. There's a band coming from Fredericksburg, so that's new this year. It's not all Charlottesville. This band's called So Badly, and they are quite amazing. They just released a 4-song EP called Toward Heaven Still. I recommend you check it out.
Hmm.
And they're like indie folk rock, I'd say. Maybe without the folk. Indie rock. Super, super cool. What you'd kind of hear, you'd hear it on the radio, but you'd also hear it across, like, you know, maybe WNRN, but mostly
right.
free form kind of
okay.
stuff. Like,
Pixies.
A little not quite as hard as the Pixies, actually,
right,
but
huh.
sounds so good. And then it's followed by the Sally Rose Band, multi-talented lady Sally Rose,
yeah.
local
Sally.
To Nelson County, local to Charlottesville.
Hey,
you may have heard
her.
Of Shag Wolf. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be headlining, and awesome to have the Sally Rose Band on board after she's been with Shag Wolf for quite a time. I
yeah.
think they're...
Sally Rose don't stop.
Exactly.
She really doesn't.
Sally
yeah.
Rose don't
like,
stop.
Like, there's always something.
So it's, I'd say, fairly for a 5-band lineup, fairly diverse across
yeah.
the board.
That's
right
cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's the way that, I don't know, it seems like, I mean, I'm old. I'm very old. And when I was growing up.
He is.
Yeah, so old. And when I was growing up, it really felt like music was very broken up into particular categories, and maybe it's
right.
that's just the way it was marketed, but it was also, that's the way it was done, because radio back at the time, like, you had stations that it was your country station, and this
right.
was your rock station,
yeah.
and this was your black music station.
And
but these days, it seems like people, like, that's not the way people take in their music. Do you find that these days that people take in music like that, they'll listen to, you know, their bluegrass song, and then they'll listen to their rock, and they'll also listen to rap, and then they'll also listen to this, and they'll listen to that, and they won't listen to jazz. I don't know why, because jazz is great, but anyway.
I think that you're right. It has to do with marketing. I hate to say that. I think that now with streaming services, it's really easy to mix it up versus listening to... I feel like entire albums are becoming less and less listened to as entire projects.
I said this before. I'll say this again. I think iPod Shuffle... The
right.
iPod Shuffle changed the
right.
way we listened to music and consumed music forever.
Yeah, because you never... How often do you actually listen to a 12-song album from track 1 to track 12?
I still do that.
I still do that, too.
Because I want to hear it.
Because you guys
it.
Are old.
Sometimes I shuffle it up, and sometimes I listen to the... Like, if a new album drops, and I... Like, the J. Cole album, I can't just listen to, like, one J. Cole song on that album. I have to listen to the entire album. I was just listening to it, like, just now, today. I have to hear, like, that... Those interlude songs intertwined in between each other. Fuji's, the score. It's
yes,
a continuous
yes.
album.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't stop. So
exactly.
it's like some songs can't be shuffleized. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I don't know. That's another conversation. That's another conversation.
And yet, what do you say to the people that shuffle them? Because it happens.
Yeah.
They're doing it. They
yeah.
are just.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's nothing wrong with that, but they're also missing something.
Yeah,
when you do that.
You like, dilute the artist's intention.
You are not only the artist's intention, but you're diluting what you get out of it. Like, right. if you listen to it all together in the way the artist wanted you to listen to it, if they're doing
story.
Their job, they're telling you a story. And if you shuffle it, you're mixing. It's like. It's like buying a new novel and reading the last sentence first.
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, you read the last sentence first. You know how it ends,
analogy
but you have no
points.
Idea what that ending means. Like, yeah.
I also think, as far as the first question goes with marketing and stuff like that, like, okay, we have this song is like, or this album is a jazz album and such. I think that it's got to do with branding now that people don't want to just say, oh, we're rock. They want to find that in-between category that nobody's heard of, right?
Right.
It complicates it a lot. Like, I'm here describing a band as indie rock. Like, I could have made up, you know, various descriptive factors to talk about them. But, yeah, I think that a lot of bands are trying to go in between these genres to stand out.
Well,
and it's actually making...
Yeah.
And it also is marketing because
blurry.
People realize, like, after Black Panther that black people got dollars. So
right.
how do you market towards a demographic that fulfills everybody's needs?
Right.
Like bands like Imagine Dragons that do every type of horrible song. But we've made a ridiculous right turn. We started talking about iPod Shuffle. It got weird. But I do want to come back to this idea because you said when things got crazy. Like this year and last year and 2016, essentially.
Right.
So I want to talk about this quote-unquote year of the woman after the midterm elections and stuff like that, which I think is bullshit. I think every year is the year of the woman. I think years we pay attention to it. There is a third wave of feminism that's coming on. Leslie, I implore you to help me with this next line of questioning because you are a woman and I am not. Do you think that this... Because we've interviewed a lot of female musical organizers in the past couple of years, more so than I've ever encountered being a musician in my 20s, all of my life, not remembering much of it, but that's neither here nor there. Do you think that these two events are intertwined, that the Year of the Woman taking control of communities, taking control of businesses, saying, I'm in the same question, saying, you know, no more of this, saying we're going to take over our own stuff. Is it, do you think it's also attributing to taking control of artistic endeavors, is what I'm asking you. Do you think that being a musical organizer and seeing the political influx of organizing is
melding?
Speaking to myself, I see those two things as going hand in hand
in
my life. As far as if I'm going to promote women, what is the best way I can do it? I'm not going to organize a 5K. I'm going to organize a concert.
Right.
So for me, definitely yes. I have actually not heard after the 2016 election that being called the Year of the Woman. I've never heard that. For me, I've been... I've seen more women trodden upon now with all these. Other than the Me Too movement, it's really been terrible. Fighting for healthcare, fighting just for reproductive rights, fighting for. Well, really just trying to have justice brought to this government that is allowing sexual assault and terrible, terrible things to happen with no retribution. I personally, it's every year is going to be the year of the woman. We saw a lot more women being elected into, like, I loved the photo of the Republicans versus the Democrats that were elected.
Oh, my God.
It's like, okay, so I've always just kind of compared this situation we're in to like a Disney movie. It's very clear who the bad guys are.
Yeah. It's very clear.
So,
mustache twirling villains.
Mustaches and yes. and black hats. Yes.
Exactly. So I feel really optimistic about the future, but I do think it's still very important that we go full throttle into this, and I hope with an event like FemFunk, the benefit Planned Parenthood, something that's been so under attack for something, it's like so misunderstood by the people who are attacking it. They need as much support right now as possible, considering, and thank goodness for this last midterm election, but considering the animosity towards them.
Considering that we have a vice president who has been quoted as saying that he can't wait until Planned Parenthood sits on the ash heap of history.
Yep.
Wow.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
The vice president.
Right.
So he's basically condemning the, you know, 60% of men that go to Planned Parenthood for STDs to die.
Oh, my God.
That's what he's doing.
Right.
Doesn't even realize
it. This is completely misunderstood. Yeah.
Because he's an idiot. Mm-hmm.
And it needs all the funding it can get. So hopefully what little drop in the bucket we can give, it'll help.
And if you can't make it, donate. PlannedParenthood.com.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you
Alice
go.
Blair. I wish it could be longer, like a lot of people we have. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. Back up. It's all over here. Right?
Lots of stuff. We have a list.
Oh, my God.
We have a list.
We have a list of things that we are doing.
I just want to... Anybody listening or watching the live... Oh, and there's a list. If you can tell me what movie that's from, you get a prize. Yes.
Trivia. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through December 15th, the comedy, just name, Seven Mammoths Wonder New England at Live Arts Theater. Currently running through December 8th, American Shakespeare Center. Coming to the end of the summer fall season, still going on. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma. Georgia Etheridge is the Man of Mood, or Orson Fucking Butter. And Richard III, and As You Like It, not the folk version, just the regular version, by Shakespeare.
Just the regular version?
Just the regular version.
Okay.
However, if you want to see that version, PVCC, I think it's in there. Well, I'll find it. Crow's A Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library on November 8th provides a quiet space to write for their NaNoWriMo Wednesday write-in for those in the final throes of their novel challenge.
Like I'm up to chapter 18.
Wow. November 29th, the Stanton Public Library invites Greg Kimball of the Library of Virginia to take period music, images, and live performance for Good My Boobs. Music of Prohibition. That is some sad, sad tracks. That is the saddest album. I'm sorry, I'm not hyping this up at all. Oh, man. I just can't think of it. Oh, God. I don't even want to think about Prohibition. November 29th, 8 UVA art students have their fall exhibition at 1515 University Avenue. November 29th through December 2nd, a funk pop adaptation of Shakespeare's As You Like It at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at PVCC. Watch or listen to last week's episode to hear music director Shelley Cole talk about it. I got my ticket.
You do?
I'm going.
All right.
I am.
Cool.
Seriously. November 29th. I heard something. They were doing a march band or something.
A what?
It's crazy. Nothing. I drifted off. November 29th, UVA MFA reading series continues with students Anita Olivia Kester and Fina Mbazari read from their work at New Dominion Bookshop. I'm so sorry if that's incorrect. Mbazari. Yeah, Clinton's got it. Clinton's got all the dialects. November 30th, the opening reception of PVCC's annual faculty exhibition featuring Possibilities.
Ooh.
A presentation of ceramic works by Tom Clarkson. I can only think of certain ceramic works that can be done.
Stop.
And I'm horrible minded.
Stop.
November 30th through December 9th, Edward Albee's The Goat, or Who Is Sylvia, at Guerrilla Theater Productions. And for your music options this week.
For your music options today, Nick Birkin at Glasshouse Winery. Tonight, King Golden Birkin Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Tomorrow. Is that like a Birkin bag? I'm sorry. UVA Wind Ensemble has their fall concert tomorrow at UVA's Old Cavill Hall. Celebrate the Wonder, the winter concert of the Waynesboro Choral Society. Oh, my friend Kara normally sings in that, but she can't because she had surgery. All right. The 28th, Sammy Horn at Fellini's. The Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar presents Goddess of Mind Expansion. Sorry. A night of goth music and poetry with Shona Stassi and Satori Daydream. Well, all right. Also on the 28th, Bobblehead at Dirty Nellie's. Okay. The 29th, UVA's McIntyre Department of Music presents a tea time recital at 1 p.m. at Old Cabell Hall. Christmas benefit concert for the Augusta Health Hospice of the Shenandoah at Waynesboro Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. On the 30th, Mike and Cindy Perfetter?
Patrick.
Okay. Mike and Cindy Perfetter from the House Rockers Band and Pat Burns from the Cool Cats and City Lights are local vocals doing eclectic acoustic covers at Glasshouse Winery. Flute and cello duo Terra Voce performs the release concert for their CD Acqua e Vino at the Haven. Water and wine, huh? Cool. November 30th that. Through December 1st, UVA's oldest women's musical organization, the Virginia Women's Chorus, performs a concert of Holtz choral hymns from the Rig Veda, Opus 26, at St. Paul's Memorial Church. I want to put Unitarian after every church that has Memorial in it now. But it's okay. And Susan Munson at Dirty Nellie's. The 30th through December 1st, Midlife Crisis at Fellini's. Also on the 1st, UVA's Chamber Music Ensemble performs at Brooks Hall. Severed Heads of Guy and Bond at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Willie D at Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room. Lord Nelson at the Batesville Market. Eli Cook at Wayland's Crossing. LG and the Buzzin' Bees at the Whiskey Jar. John Dearth and Friends at Fellini's. Oh my God, that's a lot on the 1st. Every Sunday, you got Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, you got Bluegrass Jam at Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. See, it just flows. Okay. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Maddie Metcalf at the Bebedero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. The ATM Unit at Rapture. Songwriter Night at the Local.
That's all Monday.
Every Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero, baby. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. Traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9. Bachata Fusion at the X Park. 502 Fossils at the Shabin. And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Ticker Quartet at Miller's. That was Wednesday. Okay.
Wacky Wednesday.
God. Every Thursday, Humberto Sales and Vincent Zorn at Dueling Maestros at the Bebedero.
Blum, 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 blum.
And every Thursday.
Oh, snap.
Every Thursday.
John Dearth
at Miller's.
Because right. Every Thursday, you just gotta come down to Dearth. Laura Lee Gulch is in the house. We'll be right back with her, but we're gonna pay some bills. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is AJ Amos, a photographer here in town. You're listening to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local artists on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
35 minutes past the hour.
You're just tuning in.
Where have you been?
Good God.
Stop yelling at the camera.
Where have you been? We have been slaving away for over 30 minutes. And really, you just walk in and think you can just...
You can come in whenever you want to.
No, you cannot.
Anytime you want to,
that's fine. It's a respect thing, Clinton.
It's totally fine.
You know, we've been here since 10.
You can put us on shuffle.
I'm just saying.
Just put us on iPod shuffle. That's fine.
You can always go to sivapodcast.com for all the homegrown episodes. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. They're going to be kicking it like they always do. 94.7, the best programming in the world.
In the world?
In the world.
Okay. All right. I'm just, you know, I was clarifying. I was clarifying. Sorry.
Laura Lee Gulledge is in the house. She is a graphic novel artiste. Her new book, Sketchbook Dares Workshop. No, she's doing a Sketchbook Dares workshop. Her book, Sketchbook Dares, 24 Ways to Draw Your Inner Artist. But it can also be a workshop book if that's what you choose it to be.
It's
going down at the New Dominion Bookshop.
Oh, my God.
December 1. All right.
I don't know if I've had enough coffee to hang
with. Nah, you haven't. Probably not.
There's never enough coffee to hang with.
I mean,
with
look at the size of this
in a room.
Exactly.
Like,
I thought that was water.
No, it's coffee. It's coffee. Yeah, I've had two cups already, but I've switched to water. Yeah. So yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah,
it's a problem.
We're highly caffeinated.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's nice to be here. And the sun is out today. Yay!
And it's supposed to be
it's 15 degrees warmer than it was yesterday.
It's supposed to be like 60 degrees today. Like Mother Nature is drunk. Like, somebody needs to come get her and, like, you know,
sober her. Somebody needs to come get that climate change before it wipes out our entire civilization. But that's another show. All right, so Sketchbook Dare sounds to me like y'all got too blitzed off of the Henny. And it was like, all right, I want you to draw a pink elephant with an M16.
Why's it got to be
Henny? Wearing sunglasses. Go. I don't know, because that's what I've been drinking.
Oh, that's what you've been drinking lately?
Henny and Remy Martin.
Oh,
I'm on a diet.
I like the Remy. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Royale.
I see that. Yes.
I'm working on it. But talk about it. How did you come up with Sketchbook Dares? Was it like literally like dares between people? What can you draw? What can't you draw? Like, talk about it. What's the concept?
Well, I became a graphic novelist. I'm really still a frustrated middle school art teacher at heart, because that's how I started my creative journey.
Absolutely.
Before I knew I was an artist, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to tell you how to be an artist, but I'm not actually doing it myself, so I'm just going to talk.
You're probably one of the people that killed my art dreams.
Eighth graders, they can smell BS. So what I saw reflected back from them is that if I was not actually
doing it they were like, you don't know anything.
They can tell. They can tell when your heart. And that's why I like working with middle schoolers, because most people.
I think that's the second T-shirt we've had today. Eighth graders, they can smell BS.
It's true. Yes. That's why they're hard to work with. Mm-hmm. But I love them because they're so funny. After a couple graphic novels, I wanted to do like a interactive drawing book to take my sketchbook obsession to the next level. Because my first character, Paige, works in a sketchbook, so I sort of model through story. Like, oh, if you just draw pieces of yourself out, it sort of helps you feel better. It's art therapy, but also it helps you do things in the real world. Because if you can make a joke on paper, you can make a joke in the real world.
Yeah,
it's less scary.
I wanted to ask you how much working on a sketchbook was something personal to you, because your book, page by page, is about this girl who discovers herself, who grounds herself, who takes herself to her next level by working through a sketchbook.
Because that's how I got started. I was feeling like a fraud in taking art ed classes, feeling like I think I chose the wrong major, but I committed going through with it. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people know that feeling. And you're like, I just spent a lot of money.
I'm familiar with that emotion. Yep.
Yes,
yep.
And I met another teacher, and she had this amazing sketchbook she was doing with her students where they were just focused on being as prolific as possible. Because you don't have control over if you're a good artist. You just have control over, I was like, I'll focus on the quantity and the quality will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, that sounds really scary and hard, but it seems like, I don't know, it's a science experiment. I have to figure out if it works. So for 4 years, I worked in a sketchbook, and I had to do 7 pages every 2 weeks.
Four years?
Yeah, because I was also then too chicken to work on loose paper.
Holy crap, Laura.
So I decided that the expectations, the high expectations, that's what killed my creativity, and it brought out my inner critic.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I shut my inner critic up? Like, well, let's use kids' art supplies. Let's just do each drawing in one sitting. We make something that will never go in a gallery, that we can never sell. We can never monetize.
Right.
Also, money really, like, can you sell that?
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
No. But working in sketchbooks, that's how I learned how to
I don't know, just be creative on a regular basis. So when you had an idea, it could just come out.
Yeah.
It's like a big jangled mess. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's actually sort of what I intended.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Like, oh,
the
yeah.
thing on the paper matches the thing in my head. Awesome.
And that's when I started using myself more as a character to draw about my feelings. And I thought, wait, I think all these images with me are actually scenes from a story. I just don't know what the story is. And that, thankfully, I later someone handed me a graphic novel. Like, here, you dummy. You should do this. I was like, we were talking earlier about the when people aren't they want to be in the middle category.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was like I didn't know what my middle category was. Like, am I a fine artist? No, they laugh at me. And I'm like, am I illustrator? They're like, no, you have too many styles. I'm like, am I a cartoonist? They're like, your stuff isn't really funny. It's more sad. Oh, Island of Misfit Toys. It's comics. They're like, come over here. We don't care if you went to school for this.
Oh, my God. I love comic illustrators as being the Island of Misfit Toys. That's great.
We get all the people who don't fit in other genres.
Yeah.
It's like, it overlaps with filmmaking.
Oh, yeah.
With you know, regular written writing, but also, like, fine art and that sort of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because also we ain't got no money, so.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Preach!
Mm.
Now,
people can tell the truth there, and it's less risky.
Now, my executive producer is asking me, and I don't know why you aren't asking this question yourself, but to the layman, what is a sketchbook? I remember my sketchbook being my notebook, personally. Like, draw, damn the blue lines, I'm just going to draw through them. Like, what is a sketchbook, and how do you utilize your sketchbook, personally?
Well, a sketchbook, it could be anything. It could be a spiral notebook. I bought my first one. Like at Michael's for $5, they always have like those blank books by the door, like here. Mm-hmm. The second two I actually handmade because I did a bookbinding class.
That's cool.
The level of my nerd. It's like I'm gonna make my book, baby. And my sketchbook was a combination sketchbook, journal, idea, collection. I see it as sort of when it comes to when you have a lot of ideas, you don't know what to do with them. You just need like a receptacle.
Yes.
Like for some people, that's interesting because
I've never thought that's so dumb of me. I've never thought of using a sketchbook as a journal, like writing
in
a sketchbook
in
as well, like all of that.
All of that.
That's crazy.
I just started doing that this year. So I actually have a book for each project. So as I come up with ideas or something, you know, something changes in the project or I need to make notes and because I'm meeting about the project or something, like I have a specific book for a specific project. So all of the ideas for that are in the same place and I don't have to go searching for pads or pieces of paper everywhere.
So I think a lot of us have ideas, but it's just a matter of write it down somewhere and then to be able to access it later. Because like a lot of ideas I use in my graphic novels are things that I've already drawn about in my 10,000 hours or what I call the art no one cared about. Posting it on MySpace to date myself.
No.
But all those things, they're like in this giant file cabinet. So if you can access it a little easier, you're like, oh, I'm already, what am I telling myself already? Like past
right.
my, like,
right.
Because we're playing around with the same themes over and over. Over our life as a creative, I feel.
Yeah.
So as long as you have it written down somewhere and you can go back and like, oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
Oh, right. I meant to do that thing. That's what I was supposed to do. Okay, right. Okay. Back on track now. Thank you.
And I don't think I ever answered the question, like, why did I call it Sketchbook Dares?
I don't know. I want to flip. We'll get to that next because I want to flip through it. I want to see what's going on in that lovely and colorful book of yours because there's some pages that you can draw in. And there's some pages that it looks like you can't. So I want to know all about that. I want to know all about that. And we're going to talk about that right after we do this commercial. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Good morning. This is June Heintz. I'm from the Fralin Art Museum. And you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
46 minutes past the hour. You're just tuning in. You're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, Laura Lee Gulch, graphic novel artist, nerd, fellow friend of ours. Sketchbook Dare is 24 ways to draw out your inner artist. You can draw your inner artist in the book if you so choose. Let's flip through the book. Let's see a few pages. Let's see what's going on. Talk about the concept of the book. It looks like part, like you said, part graphic novel, part stuff that you can, part coloring book, part all of the stuff that you can, like you said, like you use your sketchbook as a journal, as a, you know, as a sketchbook, as multiple mediums that can be practiced onto it. So talk about that and talk about what Sketchbook Dares is really about.
Well, I sort of designed the activities. They're a collection of things that I love to draw in my sketchbook and a lot of stuff I created for this. But I wanted it to come out to about a quarter of the activities are focused on hands and like, oh, how to draw better and get your brain and your hands in sync. And then a quarter of theirs are more about the brain, more about being logical, like drawing a map. Because sometimes I don't want to draw about my deeper most feelings. I just want to do something.
Gotcha.
And then a quarter are more heart related, so more about reflection and emotional intelligence. So maybe, yeah, drawing about your feelings. And then a quarter tapping more into like the spiritual side of ourselves, sort of getting into things that are bigger than ourselves, like maybe connecting with the world around you or your ancestors. Oh, yeah, there's some Artner ones in there that are designed to be done with other people. Because Artner
is
your partner in art. So it's a mixture of a lot of variety. Because in my sketchbook, I wanted to have sort of one of everything that I like in my sketchbook. So there's one with, like, doing a face. There's one with doing...
I like that.
Oh, yeah. The 80% wall one.
I find love that.
If you draw food that you don't like, then it's easier to take risks with it. Because most of us don't like taking risks with our art because we care about it. So sometimes I use anger with my art to help me get through a wall. Oh, be like, oh, this is not what I wanted.
Good thing,
and I'll
honey.
Take a walk like, in my head, this was perfect. This is just not what I thought it would be. And I come back, I'm like, oh, this is such a disappointment. Well, since it's ruined anyway, I might as well. And my anger shuts up the critics so I can actually hear what I want to do to it, but I'm too chicken. And we're like, might as well cut up the back. Yeah, cut it up. Yeah, who cares?
Frida! And it'll... I love Frida.
I watched a TED Talk on that, how taking walks really helps you like gather your thoughts and organize.
Yeah, paying tribute to that.
Yeah,
can to I get just you read out this? Of yourself.
Let me just read this.
Okay,
let's do so this is at the end of the book. It's the pink section. After all this inner exploration, we will now look outward to who inspired you to embark on this creative journey in the first place, your heroes. Our heroes or historical mentors give us strength, wisdom, solace, and footsteps to follow in, because like them, we're also on a hero's journey. I dare you to draw the face of your hero. This is so cool.
Yeah, I picked dares because it really is a daring feat to fill the blank page. And a lot of storytellers who don't realize they're storytellers, all of us little hobbits are shy at the beginning because I didn't think I was on a hero.
Still.
It's hard to
in and out
take a risk, do anything, say something, try anything. So, yeah, it is daring.
Oh, this is a nice
quote. We got to come out of our shells now because
I love these little. I love that you have quotes from different people on the pages. So I love this quote from Bono. My heroes are the ones who survived doing it wrong, who made mistakes, but recovered from them.
Well, there's a great Dolly Parton one after that.
You've given away all the book. You've given away, like, she got to make this money. All right. So the workshop, December 1st, New Dominion.
Yeah.
If I go, how is this book going to intertwine with it? What are we going to do? Elevator speech. Impress me. Go.
Okay. So you're invited to bring your sketchbook if you want, or we'll have paper as well if you don't have a sketchbook, or you can buy my sketchbook. Mm-hmm. But I will be talking about my obsessive love of sketchbooks and sort of give you ideas of like my top, I don't know, things that I've liked to draw in my sketchbook. And then also I'll demonstrate one, and then we'll do one together, and then probably do a little collaborative art-nering one as a group.
Yay!
Because to me, that's what it's all about. It's like, I used to be an art teacher, but now I'm a teaching artist. So you got to model it.
Can I say I'm loving the word artner? I'm loving the word artner.
You can have multiple artners. We're polyartnerists. We got a whole shtick.
I think we're polyartnerists every week.
Mike Pence won't like that.
Yeah. Mike Pence won't a lot of stuff that we talk about.
And we don't
really
care.
A lot of guests that we have on.
We really don't care.
We really don't give
any flying artner.
Yeah. It's an art in the wind, as far as I'm concerned.
And at the event, you don't have to be an artist to come. All charity cats and amateur artists are welcome.
What?
Yes, because there's no pressure. In fact, sometimes we have to. Some of the art we'll make is ugly. You know, we have a stick, the ugly stick, and you're like, your art's gonna be ugly. Yeah. Deal with it.
Deal.
There's a Catholic nun that walks around and wraps your knuckles every time you.
Wow.
You hit a wrong.
Well, all right.
You hit a wrong stroke. No. I'm sure it'll be very free, and you'll run a hell of a show because I mean it's what you used to do. So yeah. Yeah, I'm getting the wrap up
well, thank you
fingers.
So much
I don't want to wrap
me.
Up because they're awesome.
But, yes, it was fun.
Yes. We're going to be back. So it's no problems. It's no problems. All right. We got it.
Clinton is so mad at us right now.
No, he's like, let's go. God, Jace. We're trying to have fun. Let's be organic. I just want to thank Alice Claire, Laura Lee Gulch for being on the show, but we're not done yet. We got Leslie's Weekly Rant coming up right now.
Yes. So I'm going extemporaneous today because
big
I
words.
Something come up. So for those of you who are friends on Facebook with me, you know, I post a lot of like political stuff. I post a lot of, you know,
once or twice
feminist, you know, thought and all of
so
that.
I've heard.
So over the holiday, I posted this. Let me be one of the first to tell you all that you aren't allies. You are the typical white feminist that we scream about. You are the typical white feminist that will excuse the stuff that happens to people of color because maybe they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You are the typical white feminist that wear your pussy hats and scream up and down the road but won't come out of your house for a Black Lives Matter march. We see you in the comments section asking people of color for education and understanding and yet trying to police our tone at the same time, telling people of color that they are attacking you and making you feel some type of way when they point out your BS. Is another, we know it's just another way that you perpetuate white feminism. Now, when I posted that, I was just like, yes, all of that. Absolutely all of that.
That's
like,
why
we
I
all,
hit,
like,
that's why
what,
I hit the button.
That's why I say,
I read it, I proofread it
several times.
I'm good with it.
Several times in my life, I have said, please save me from well meaning white women, right? Because this is what they do, right? And then I get a post from a sweet man. I love him to death, an artist. He's so sweet. And he says, turn down some of that anger. Turn it into love for all. And
all lives matter.
And one, that's policing my tone,
yep.
First of all.
Yep.
Two, I didn't see any anger in that. I saw love for myself in that comment. I saw that statement standing up for my brand of feminism, which is Black female centered. Mm-hmm.
And militant.
And militant. And mm-hmm. that is the most profound love that I can give myself and that I think I can give the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the rant today is just, it's a caution, okay? It's a caution. When Black people are talking about race, if you are not a person of color, you don't have anything to say. You should simply sit there, absorb the knowledge, and then go somewhere else and work out all your ish, okay? Mm-hmm. Without making it our problem to help you work through it.
Yep.
Okay.
If you're a straight person, you have no right to police gay tone. If you're a male, you have no right to police women tone.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I'm going to stop. It's your rant.
Please, please. Like, I post these things for your education. I don't need you to comment on them. I don't need your... I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need it. It's not helpful. And, you know, I know you mean well, but please stop. Just please stop.
Yeah.
All right?
I hear that. I hear all of the, when you're about to say, in my defense or, to be fair, just don't. Just don't. And I understand that, Leslie.
I can't
because
be racist. I have Black friends.
but it's not even that. It's just recognizing privilege. Like, I know that I am an underprivileged person in the world because I am a Black straight male. And I know that I'm a privileged person in the world because I am a straight male.
Right.
So we have to understand and recognize our privileges and our differences. And, shut up.
You know, it's just like,
stop.
So I go to the Ebony Groove reunion show Friday night, which was amazing. And there's always that guy, right? There's always that white guy completely drunk off his ass who can't dance.
Oh, come on.
But like all bless up his heart. In the black space.
Bless his heart.
Right? Yeah. All up in the black space.
I mean.
And like, and so like creepy I mean, and weird
but
about
Go-Go,
it.
I mean, Go-Go is infectious though.
It is infectious. It,
I mean, but people be loving the
you,
Go-Go.
Can I just say, you know what he was doing? He's walking around going, he's throwing up devil. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like,
dude,
this is Metallica.
I was going to say, it's not Slipknot.
Not Go-Go. Like, you don't even know what you're doing.
We'd like to thank our guests. Alice Green, Laura Lee Gellis for being on the show. White people dance how you want to dance. It's okay. Just know when to throw up the devil horns. Yeah. There's a time and a place. Sunday morning wake up call is next. Awesome show as always. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, and I love you, Clinton. I love you, Leslie. Y'all take it easy. Happy Sunday.
I'm adjacent to you, David.
Work off that Thanksgiving food. I'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Opening music from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Right now, we're listening to Sally Rose Band. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine lisping law firm of Tuchterman, Overman, Munthen, and Burke, legal thurithes that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. For better or for worse, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.